Welcome to the Land Jam Podcast, episode 60. Now you've got cooties.
Yeah, today is a banner day at the podcast. We're about to break the glass ceiling. We're about to all get cooties. We have our first female guest on the podcast. Hi, Patrice. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is so exciting. I am very jazzed. Oh, wait, so I'm the first female that you've had here.
First female guest on the podcast. Never had a feminine perspective on watches or what we talk about. So this is something new for us.
And within 10 seconds, you're already more enthusiastic than Tommy on this podcast. Warm welcome.
Thank you. As my grandmother says to me, Patrice, she said this to me recently. She's 92. And she said, you know, Patrice, you never really sneak into a room. People know you're there. So that apparently is translating over to podcast world as well.
She's a bull in a china shop. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. We needed this energy. Sanj is, you know, basically comatose right now. So we needed a jolt of energy. But no, thank you for joining us. Obviously, you know, let me just get something off the bat here. You know, Patrice, you're not really in plug with the watch world. There is a YouTuber, a famous watch YouTuber that I'm not going to mention his name. Sanj, you know this guy. And he has a habit of bringing his girlfriend on the podcast. And, you know, he'll do this whole, he'll talk about a watch and be like, okay, well, here's my girlfriend and let's hear what she has to say. And to me, it just feels like, hey guys, I know a girl sort of thing, you know, like it's just really kind of sad. So this podcast is not going to be like that. This is going to be a very honest engagement. All right, Patrice, to kind of feel a different perspective on things without making it too kind of simplistic.
Yeah. And I held you accountable. I even asked, I think whenever a few weeks ago, I said, I'll send Tommy and Sanj some questions before. And you said, no, it will just be authentic. So that really is. I said, okay. So this, yes, it is not like that. It is.
So yeah, let's kick off with question number one. I mean, okay. Patrice, you know, you are out in the world, you are meeting people, you know, what are your thoughts on this weird hobby?
Watches? Well, so we'll break it into two things. Podcasting is a, I think, pretty cool hobby that you guys have. Watches, I actually didn't know until I just did a little bit of Googling before, very light. I had no idea it was like a car club. Like, you know how people are super into cars?
Yes.
I did not know that existed for the watch world, but apparently it does.
Yeah, and we overlap because Sanj and I are both into cars and watches. So it's
Do you not know, actually, do you wear watches while driving cars?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. But I can tell you. And Tommy's going to rip on me on this. I'm actually not wearing a watch right now.
Oh my God. What is the point?
Oh goodness. Okay, good to know. So, me?
Patrice, do you wear a watch? Yeah.
Sanj, I'll tell you a hint of what I wore, and then you're gonna know what I wear. I told Tommy what I wore last year, and he called it a toy.
Oh boy. What do you think it is?
Let me guess.
What do you think it is?
Apple Watch.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. No improvement. 1 year, still no improvement.
I remember that. That really stuck with me. So, do you remember that, Tommy?
I mean,
I do remember that. Yeah.
You know, you got to give, you know, some credit here. I mean, the Apple Watch is the most sold watch out of all kinds of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even classify it as a watch, to be honest. You know, it's a wearable. It's you know, it's like a Fitbit. That's kind of how I feel about it.
But how is it any different from like a Casio G-Shock, with an altimeter or anything like that?
It's a fine line. I mean, I do admit the line is blurred, but it's also a connected watch that tells you your emails and stuff. Like, I don't feel like it's a watch. Like, is that like akin to a Speedmaster? I don't know, man. You know, or a Rolex? Is it? Or even a Seiko? Like,
I mean,
it just doesn't. It doesn't fit in the same category.
You know, I'm still on the call. You don't have to knock it too much. At least wait till I'm off.
Patrice,
what do you think about? Yeah, what do you think about wearing the Apple Watch? I mean, why did you get it? And How do you like it?
Yeah, so I got it originally in trend for, I think what I would feel, I'm going to be bold here and say what most consumers maybe get it for is for steps, or, you know, so steps, heart rate, and then being able to like check your texts or low key and not to be rude. Like if you just, you know, so things like, I just got it for the basics. There's probably so many other functionalities on it that I don't know exist. So that I'm sure you guys probably know way more about it than I do, but those are probably the three main things that I use it for.
Is this the model that if you fall off a bike or something, it'll call 911 for you?
No, it is not a model. But to actually, to that point, my Apple Watch, I think I got 6-7 years ago. It's an oldie, but yeah, it's still hanging in there. So I'll give Apple their credit for longevity. Because you know how sometimes with the iPhone,
that's actually impressive.
Yeah, sometimes they do something funky and you have to update it, and then yeah, and eventually to get a new one, and then like the battery still charges fine. So yeah, so I agree.
Interesting. 6-7 years. That is pretty long for an Apple product. Usually the charging is done by like 2 years.
I know. I forgot about it. You just said it. How long I've had it for? Till we just got talking about it.
Yeah. But you must have had one of the original iterations of the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I'm actually, if I can find it, I think it's like Gen 2 or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's legit.
I don't even know what generation they're on. Or is it called generation? I don't even know what generation their version they're
no
on.
No idea.
Now.
Could not tell you.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. And, do you know the answer? Here. No idea.
But do you remember when Apple first released their Apple Watch? They used to come in like gold for iteration that was like $10,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
They made a gold version. And the funny thing is, I think that's like so old now. Like, I don't know what you do with this thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to melt it down for the gold, basically, at this stage. Yeah.
This is off topic, and we won't go down this rabbit hole, but this last thing I'll say about Apple. Have you guys seen the newest AirPods?
The newest AirPods. What about them?
Ooh,
they're headphones.
No.
Son.
What? I'm not sure. I don't have a pair myself, so I'm not in touch with their latest offerings.
The AirPods. Hold on, I'm just gonna.
The AirPods Max. Oh yes. My god.
So isn't it ridiculous? Yeah, AirPods Max. We've come full circle.
We've come full circle. They are literally just headphones. Hilarious.
Well, that's nice.
If they reintroduce a wire, like I'm gonna.
That's it. I'm out. We're done. We're done here.
$529. Oh my goodness.
It's Apple, baby. You paying for quality, Sanj. Come on. Right.
That or a Seiko prospects, Tommy.
Oh man. I don't know. Depends on the prospects. No, I mean, yeah. I don't know if you guys are into the Vision Pro insanity that's been going on. Patrice, do you know anyone that has one?
I don't. I've just seen the videos online of people kind of mocking it, and dude, some of them are so funny. But no, yeah, they're just hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, the Vision Pro. Yeah, not for me. I don't understand these people walking down the street swiping and doing all kinds of crazy things, imagining windows all around them. They look like kind of untreated mental cases. But that's just me, you know.
Yeah, I'm worried. So my background is in the medical field, and I can't remember when those what were those things that people got for Christmas one year and everyone ended up in the emergency department? Those like
tickle me Elmo? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's it. It was those
I think
not the scooters. What are those things called?
Razors?
No.
The one with the one
hoverboard.
Wheel?
Hoverboard?
The hoverboard. Yeah.
So I have a feeling in a few months we're going to have an uptick of people in the emergency department because they're walking into stuff wearing this Vision Pro.
Or driving with it. Like I've seen people drive with it on, which is insane to me.
Can you imagine driving with a Vision Pro and a watch on at the same time?
Yeah. Or driving a Tesla Cybertruck. I've seen a couple of people doing that. I'm like, buddy, you are so far gone. But anyway, coming together. So that's your watch experience is basically the Apple Watch. What did you wear before that? Did you ever own a watch before that, Patrice?
I also have a Movado, but I think
is that the museum piece, the Movado museum piece, the one with no are there like numerals on the dial, or is it just one dot at the top?
What, the dot.
Okay, got it. I think that's called the museum watch. Cool.
Yeah, so that is kind of my
a real watch. You're in this.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. I have mixed reservations about the Movado museum, only because it's like, how do you even tell time on this?
Oh, thing? I don't. It's strictly for fashion.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I can't tell time on that thing. My gosh. I'm still stuck in the digital world.
We're trying to give Patrice some credit here. That's a real watch company with a real watch. Okay.
Fair. I'm not like, you know, ripping on it or anything like that, of that matter. I'm just always curious because I've seen a few watch model types like that.
I have another friend who has one, and it's the same thing. I was like, I'm not sure how you can tell the time, but it is a cool design. It is a very like timeless design. Like, it's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
it has.
Yeah,
for sure.
So Patrice, amongst your friends, who is anyone into watches, or what do, besides the Apple watches, has anything ever come up? Because like, you know, Sanch and I don't really cover watches for women, but like every once in a while we'll cover a watch that's like mid-size that some women could wear, or they'll make some colors that possibly a woman somewhere might find attractive. But like, I never know the end market. Like, I don't know if there's any actual women who are kind of into this. Do you have any friends, like professionally or personally, who are like kind of into watches, or like are kind of aware of any of this stuff, or not really?
No, I'll say I have a pretty diverse friend group, and I'm going to, it hasn't come up. The only, in recent years, the company I work for, if you're in a certain percentage of, you know, doing so well, what they do is give out Rolexes to males and females. What? Yeah.
They still do this?
Are they hiring?
So I forgot to mention that. Yeah. So they'll do that once a year to, you know, very, very top tier level people. And that is, so that's been kind of my reintroduction, I suppose, in the past 5 years to watches. Wow. Cause then, you know, when people wear that around work, it's like, oh, they have a they did well. They have a Rolex. It's really got, you know, a badge of honor to have one at this company.
I didn't think companies were still doing that. I mean, the retirement Rolex, like the gold Rolex when you retire, you know, when you retire out of the company, like that used to be a thing, but like, I thought that ended in like the 60s and 70s. I had no idea that they were doing this even for, you know, top earners.
Bringing it back. I don't know. I'm not sure if other companies are, but yeah, it's a whole ceremony. It's a
really?
Whole, oh yeah. It's a huge, we have a meeting once a year, and then we kick off that awards night with, like, one year they did it with, it's very ostentatious how they deliver these Rolexes. So they have people go on stage, but like one year they did it, it was pre-COVID, and we were all at dinner, and they had drones flying around the room. What? I never told you that. They had they had drones flying around the banquet room delivering Rolexes to people.
That's insane. How many were delivered?
So I'd say maybe in the room there's probably about 500 people of, like, you know, mixed, not everyone's in the running for this, and I probably they give about 20 out.
Wow,
that's impressive. Yeah, that's
a lot of money.
And that's just for one division. You know, all divisions and business units are doing this, and I work for a very, very large company. So yeah, it's a lot of money.
Do you know what models? No, not really.
Sorry, Tommy, what was that?
Do you know what model, or do you know like what they look like?
If I had it, like, again, using my descriptive words, I know aren't watch words. It looks silver-ish. I feel like in my head, I'm looking at silver with some gold on the side, like a gold trim, maybe.
So a sand. It's probably like a Datejust, or like an.
I think so, like a two-tone. Like
that's still
so. Cool. Are you saying next year, Patrice, they're gonna like announce it that drones and as well like all the contestants will wear like a Apple Vision Pro to find out if they want to?
Hey, you know what? Don't give them any spoil. Like, they might run with it. They like being Like, what? One year we had cutting. I'm trying to think other cool things we've had. Like, we've had pro. Ex athletes come like talk to us at these meetings. They go all out, so it's pretty cool.
Well, you know what? One time you got to sneak Tommy and I in.
Yeah, no. Huh. Like we would sneak in like you know, like mice sneaking into the kitchen here, you know, like looking in from the door. It's like, what is that? Is that an oyster professional? What is it?
Yeah.
I think I have a video. I'll send you guys it to at some point. I got a video of it a few years ago. So
no, we gotta see it. We gotta see it. All right, Patrice. So what do you have for us? What are you curious about?
All right. So I figured, so just a little quick background. This came up because I am in the dating world. So, you know, I'm not married, I'm dating, and it just kind of got me thinking about what as a gift in the spirit of Valentine's Day. It doesn't necessarily have to be for a Valentine's Day gift, but what would be appropriate types of watches to give certain levels of dating? So maybe what I can do is go over, we can level set about the what I have deemed the tiers of dating.
Got it. Okay.
And so whether or not you guys are, anyone disagrees, I'll say these are the generically accepted tiers of dating currently.
Okay. Got it.
So first you have the talking phase, so that, you know, you're kind of talking, you might be like going on a date or two with the person, you're just you're talking to them. And then next, now this is a newer level that I have noticed has come creeped up into the dating world in the past 5 years or so, and this is exclusiveness. So exclusiveness does not mean your boyfriend and girlfriend. Being exclusive means you're not dating anyone else, but you have not,
okay,
you have not put an official label on it. But you have to have a conversation. That's the key. You have to communicate and say, you know, okay, we're exclusive. Great. And then go ahead.
It's a non-compete clause, basically. Like, you can't
anywhere else. But, yes. Okay. That's a whole other probably podcast that I can talk about, whether or not I agree with this phase. I personally don't agree with that phase because for whatever reasons, I think it's buying time for some people, but that it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then, so that can, you can kind of go in that phase for a little bit. And then afterwards, we have the official boyfriend-girlfriend phase. So that can go on, you know, for however long. And then after that, we have engagement and then naturally marriage would be the top tier, top of the cake there.
Wow. Okay.
So are questions about the levels of modern dating?
So, okay. I mean, just caveat, you know, I've been out of the game for more than a decade, right? Mm-hmm. Sanj never entered the
almost
game.
A decade.
Wait, he was married into the womb, so he's been out of the game. So, you know, keep that in mind. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, would you? I don't know, Sanj. Would there ever be an expectation to receive a watch before? I don't know.
Well, engagement? The first one that came to my mind, like, what was the tier one? I think it's nothing.
Talking.
Yeah, talking. Yeah, you know, if they don't have a wall clock or something, maybe just send them one. And then what's the next tier? Yeah. The next tier is what? Exclusiveness.
Yes, without the lit. Yes, exclusive, but not boyfriend, girlfriend.
Got it. I think that's like basic entry level swatch.
Okay, so how about this, though? So let's, now Valentine's Day, like I said, is around the corner.
Yeah.
Is this, for both of those kind of like two phases, talking and exclusive, do you have to like talk to the other person about, hey, we're going to do a gift exchange and let's put an X amount of dollar on it?
Yes, I think yes. So. Yeah.
Because the watch world can be very dangerous financially.
I also feel like talking, it's like, would you even want to give a gift? Because doesn't that signal more than what you're willing to commit at the moment? Or I don't know, right? It depends on the trajectory. Like if this guy has a trajectory to go big eventually, then it's talking is just a stop along the way. But if he's like, you know, running in place for the next 5 years, then maybe not give a gift. I don't, you know?
Yeah, these are the questions that I have for you guys. So you tell me what to do.
You know what? You know, the talking bit, maybe like a chocolate that looks like a watch or something. I mean,
wow.
I like the swatch idea though. I mean, Sanj,
what's a swatch?
Swatch is, you know, it's relatively affordable. Sanj, what are they ranging? It's like,
yeah. I mean, Patrice, have you ever, you know, have you ever been at the airport or like these big malls where if you go buy a watch store or anything of that matter, you find these like plastic colorful watches?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm envisioning them at like a kiosk. Yes.
They were big in the 80s. Yeah.
So is Swatch actually a brand or is it just a type of watch?
It's both. So Swatch is a brand, but it's also a parent company to many other watch brands.
But
they're the world's largest watch company.
What's the price range for the colorful ones that we're talking about?
Yeah, the actual Swatch brand watches, Sench.
Yeah, so
$80 and above, I would say.
Not even. I think you can get some for like $40.
Would any guy actually want that as a gift?
Well, it depends if the guy is into watches or not, or, you know, these are playful kind of things, right? Like this is like the kind of thing like you would buy, like, you know, daddy's going on a business trip to London and, you know, daddy's going to get you a gift on the way back. You know, it's like, it's kind of disposable. It's nice. It's colorful. It's playful. It's not too serious. That's, okay. You know, so it's kind of accessible.
I kind of like this now, the Swatch idea for the, like the talking, maybe exclusive. Yeah, depending if you put a price limit on it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like say the guy you're dating is into like Marvel comics, for example, and that's his hobby. Mm-hmm. You can get like a watch that has like X-Men all over it or something, you know, just something playful. Just for that, hey, you know what? This is a fun little thing I got for you with some, you know, sentimental meaning towards it.
Okay. No harm in
it. Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's for kids. Yeah, you know, you won't be making a big statement, but it's a nice gesture. It's like buying chocolates kind of.
I like that. So it comes in like, so what I'm gathering, Sanj, is that like you said the X-Men example. So they come in like all, like, you know, like ties, like, you know, men's ties or men's socks, they come in like ridiculous patterns. They're kind of fun. Is that like what these Swatches can be?
Exactly. Yeah.
There is a Swatch right now called Sweet Embrace, which is a picture of Marge and Homer making out.
Okay. Yep. Got it. This is great. I'm loving it. I had no idea this existed. This is a lot of fun. And so is it just functionality? Is it just time for this watch?
I would say
you can get chronographs too, right, Sam? Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Mostly a tell time.
What's a chronograph? Sorry.
So a chronograph is, I don't know if you know the term complication. It's just a typical.
Well, my life's complicated. My life's a complication. Is that what we're saying, or what do you mean?
Yeah, it's a feature on, like, say it's known for, we say complications with
it's
mechanical watches.
It's a stopwatch.
Yeah, it's essentially a stopwatch.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a watch that tells time and has a stopwatch functionality. So you could hit the button and it'll tell you elapsed time. So, you know, that's all it is.
Tommy has a few watches which have a chronograph feature or complication added to it. And usually he does it to time his pizza.
Timing pizza.
Yeah, microwaving.
Yeah, timing food. Yeah, this is what it gets used for. But yeah, it's a very useful complication back in the day, but you know, you don't really need it now. But it's a very cool kind of aesthetic for a watch, right? So but yeah, they have it all. You know, Swatch runs the gambit. They're not too serious, so you're not making a big commitment. I think that's a good safe bet for
this is good.
This level of person. Yeah.
Okay. So talking or exclusive. Talking maybe exclusive. We can do the Swatch. I love it. And so now we'll move on to the next one. And the boyfriend, girlfriend. So now you've moved on, we'll say past 3 months, and you guys have decided to be BFGF. And maybe it's someone's. So you guys have been boyfriend, girlfriend for, we'll say, 3 to 6 months, and the guy's birthday is coming up. So Yeah, 3 to 6 months, we'll say maybe closer to six, and their birthday is coming up.
What's your budget, first and foremost?
Okay, let's just do a standard budget. Well, I shouldn't say that. Let's say that's actually a good question. You pose a good question here. What is an appropriate budget without looking too cheap, but also not looking to be like, okay, I'm trying to buy your love?
Yeah, I mean, 6 months, I don't know. $200, Sanj, what are your thoughts? Tops?
Yeah, I was thinking of $2. I would say something like a Seiko 5 level.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Okay. The Seiko 5 line. So Seiko's Japanese watch company. We love them. Sanj, I don't know. He's sick of hearing about them, but I love them. They make the gambit. They make ultra, you know, high-end Rolex-like watches. And they also make like cheap disposable watches. Seiko 5 is kind of more affordable on the lower end, but they're mechanical watches. They're not, there's no battery. You know, they're basically made to function like old school watches. They have a whole line called the Seiko 5, and it gives you 5 features. Sanj, that's what they're waterproof.
Waterproof.
Date. There's a bunch of other features as well that's escaping us. But those, you know, watches are relatively well made. They'll stick around forever if you take care of them. And yeah, you know, that's
yeah, a good and they can be that. They can be take a beating, that's for sure. Like and they're extremely reliable. It's a no-nonsense piece that, you know, you'll never worry about it. Like, if you were to think about this relatively speaking, you mentioned earlier about, you know, how we're, you know, there's a group that's into cars or into watches or both.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Seiko as like Toyota, and the Seiko 5 as the Toyota Corolla watches.
It's a Toyota Corolla.
It's nothing fancy, but it'll take you there.
So would a guy, an average guy, so think of your friends who might not be into watches, but they like maybe like some nightwear or watch to work or a watch to like, then they have like a different watch to go to weddings and things like that. Would that type of guy, I'm sure they know the brand Seiko, but would they think it's like you're cheaping out on them, or were they like, no, this is a good gift?
Yeah, not at all. Like as Tommy mentioned, you know, just like Toyota, you know, Toyota owns Lexus. Mm-hmm. Seiko is in a very similar fashion, and depending on the price point, they have a watch for everybody, which is really great. And they make really good watches. For example, the Seiko 5, I have an older version of the Seiko 5, which is Tommy the SKX. And yes. I've worn that watches to many different kinds of engagements. And the interesting thing with the Seiko 5 is that even watch people know and get it and appreciate it too. So it's got a bit of a cult following.
You often, like, you know, when you travel in watch circles, like, you know, a guy may own a Rolex, may own an Omega, may own whatever, but like he'll also own a Seiko because like they just make great watches. And like it's like, you know, it's like the kind of guy that like owns a Lamborghini but like has a Toyota on the side to do his groceries. Like that's just, it's just kind of expected, you know. So
yeah, okay, no, that makes sense. So we're gonna go with the Seiko. Last question for this, and we can move on. For the Seiko, what's the range of prices for this for Seikos?
So the Seiko 5, right? So I felt embarrassed. I couldn't tell you all 5. So the 5 requirements to make it a Seiko 5: automatic movement, so it's a mechanical watch that you don't have to wind. Basically your wrist, you know, turns the watch and keeps it going.
What is that? Your wrist turns the watch? What does that mean? I'm sorry.
So, okay, Sanj, you know, we should explain quartz versus automatic, right? So
yeah, sure.
Before the Apple Watch, you know, when your Movado, right? Does that Movado tick, or does the second hand sweep?
I can't hear.
Does it have a battery?
You know, I don't think I know you're saying I can hear some watches tick. Mine doesn't tick.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's probably an automatic, right? So yeah, in the mechanical watch world, right? Set aside the Apple Watch, you basically have two parts of the universe, right? So you've got the quartz universe, which, you know, the quartz watches came out in the 1970s. They use an electrical current. And they use basically a what's called a quartz movement. Those movements tick. So you'll see a tick. It's like a very jerky motion of the actual seconds hand. You know, that is a technical innovation in the 1970s, using a battery, using electric power. You know, there's like a little chip in there to regulate the time. That is one universe. The other universe is basically mechanical, which may include automatic as well, which is basically how watches were made for a couple hundred years, right? So you would have basically a spring that's loaded up with tension, and then the spring basically releases tension, and that release drives basically the whole watch movement forward. So it drives a second, drives a second hand. In that case, the second hand doesn't tick like in jerky motions, it sweeps, you know, more or less. That's the difference, right?
So for example, Rolexes, the Rolexes that you spoke about that gets awarded in your award ceremony at your company, they are all automatics.
They sweep. So in the watch world, it's prestigious, more prestigious to have a mechanical, non-battery, non-quartz watch, right? Because that's how watches are always made. That is the high end, or considered the high end of watches. I mean, there's always exceptions. There are people that over-engineer quartz watches, including Seiko. So, you know, obviously there are exceptions to the rule, but like generally speaking, 30,000 feet, you know, watch people tend to collect mechanical watches, or you know, that's what's esteemed.
So. Okay, now I'm having a clearer picture. So this is, again, off topic, but on topic. Let's say you're watch that sweep stops sweeping. How do you, if you can't put a battery in it, how do you get it fixed?
Right.
So you wind up the spring that's in it. So
he dimensions. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a spring that gets released, you know, reduces tension over time. It basically gets regulated. And that regulation is what's able to basically tell you the time.
Yeah.
So if you don't wear it and you could just let it rest for a day or two or 3 days, depending on how much you wound up the watch. The watch will stop working, but you can basically wake it up by winding up the watch again. And you just have to, you know, adjust for the time, and then you're back to normal. If you wear it every day, you basically never have to wind up the watch.
It's magic. Yeah. And the mechanical world is split between mechanical and automatic. So mechanical meaning you will physically wind the movement every day or every other day. And automatic is there's a little rotor in the back of the watch that spins. It's inside the watch, but it spins. And that spinning, you never know it's working. But as it's spinning, it winds up the watch for you. So you never even have to mechanically wind it. It'll just do it automatically, hence automatic.
Mind you, Patrice, there are some really great quartz watches. We're not discounting the fact that, you know, quartz watches are bad or anything like that. There are some great ones. And as a matter of fact, I have a couple myself. And the funny enough, Seiko was the first company to mass produce successfully a quartz watch back in the 70s. So they have a whole variety of watches in both fields, in the mechanical world and in the, let's say, digital quartz world.
Yeah, they're really impressive. And the Seiko 5, you know, just to close it out, right? Automatic movement. So, you know, that's the one with the rotor that spins. Day-date display, so it gives the day and the date as well on the watch. Water resistance to some degree. Recessed crown, so basically the crown on the watch pops in, I guess, to keep water out, Sanj?
So,
and the last thing is durable case and bracelet. So, it, you know, it's designed to take a bit of a beating. So that those are the five things that make a Seiko 5 watch a Seiko 5.
And if you're ever wondering what a crown is... exactly, you know, it, for example, on your Apple Watch, the knob that's on, let's say, your 3 o'clock or on the right side of the watch that you turn to spin, that's it's the... basically a, what we call a crown.
Okay.
So this I think the Seiko 5 is very reasonable for that level.
You just got me thinking, out of curiosity for both of you, how many watches do you each own?
Oh,
I mean, Tommy goes through a watch, buys a watch every 6 months or something. It's hard to keep up with them.
Bloody hell. Don't ride me out here, Sanj.
You can give me a ballpark.
I have, over the course of past, let's say, 20 plus years, probably have about seven to nine in my collection. I haven't really kept count.
No, is that including kind of like these swatch type things that we're talking? I'm not sure if you have that per se.
All of them. Mechanical, quartz, the whole gamut.
Tommy, what about you?
I would say closer to 10 to 11 watches. Yeah.
And that's including like the kind of fun ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really own any. I mean, I think I got a Swatch when I worked for a company called UBS like 15 years ago. It was their 150th anniversary. They were a Swiss company. So they actually got everyone in the company a free Swatch.
But so, you have the Citizen Nighthawk still, right?
No, I actually gave that to my dad. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm actually porchless except for the Seiko Arnie, which is my, I've got a gym watch that, you know, basically I beat up. So like that's the only quartz watch that I own. But
actually, that is also a good alternative now that you mention it, Tommy.
I think that would be too pricey for this level, Sench.
Well, this could flip into my next question, maybe, because yeah. I know we have other tiers to get to, but it's kind of just doing engagement and then marriage. But do everything that we just said, one of my questions was going to be, do you think that any of now your, what you have said changes depending on the gentleman's age? So 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
See,
60s.
I don't think so, Sanj.
I don't think so. No, not at all. It's more about the gentleman's character.
Oh, wow.
In the sense, like, you know, for example, is he, like I mentioned earlier about comics and things like that, is that gentleman into that, for example, or is he a bit more into a bit more dressy, like simple watches or simplistic style? You know, it really depends how you want to, you know, buy the watch for that person.
Okay, so I think I cut you off then talking about the alternative to the Seiko 5.
At that level, you know, I can't really think of anything that's too handy. I think a Seiko 5 is a good bet at that level. I don't think Orient is another brand that's like inexpensive. It's like Seiko's kind of like, I don't know, Sandy, what would you call it? It'd be like their Hyundai. I don't know.
Yeah, like their Daihatsu, I would say. Like, there's nothing wrong with Orient, first of all. I mean, it's just a little bit more affordable than what a Seiko 5 would be.
They're not as engineered generally. You know, the line to, you know, I'm making vast generalizations, but like as far as technical, you know, input that goes in, you know, I always rate Seiko a little higher. But
and the fact that everyone, you know, in the watch world, or, you know, just in general, will know what a Seiko is, the same way everyone knows what a Toyota is.
Okay.
I'm associating two Japanese companies, but I feel like they're very similar in their attributes.
Yeah.
I mean, Seiko really, I mean, you know, Sanj makes fun of me for how many times I bring these guys up, but like, they really are an extraordinary company because like, they're basically, they're only other company that is as vertically integrated is probably Rolex in the game, right, Sanj? Because like Seiko,
yeah, Rolex, Omega everything. Is another one, but yeah, I would agree.
Omega is owned by Swatch, right? So there's some, they're not as vertically integrated. Like
no, but they do make their own movements. They do research their own alloys and things like that. I agree that Rolex is its own entity. That's for sure.
Yeah. So they're really extraordinary, and the fact that they still make watches for, you know, people up and down the market is also different, because Rolex doesn't do that. So that's what makes it kind of different. Yeah.
So age, then we'll say, does not impact your feelings.
I'm almost 40 years old. Come on.
Well, you're doing that.
You have a couple more years, Tommy.
I feel in this consumer kind of world we live in, there's this general thought that if something is more expensive, that it's better. Do you think this applies when you're looking at men's watches?
Within limits. I mean, I feel like I just said that with Orient and Seiko, right? And like, you know, I think within limits, right? Because like there are watches that are sold for $300,000 that, I mean, Sanj, like, Richard Mille, like, does that make any sense? Like, why, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are, it's, there's an overlap on, like, you know, price, and then I guess, like, the social fashion construct, you know, like, Richard Mille, is become like such a watch that only like, you know, celebrities would want to wear or things like that. You know, it's to show off that they have like wealth and they spent so much money. It's a great watch, but is it worth $300,000 or $500,000 or whatever they spent?
I don't think it's not a great watch. It looks like something out of like basically a cereal box. And like, I remember a couple years ago, there was an NFL player wearing it on the field. It was $300,000. I'm like,
I mean, there are some technological achievements. I mean, they can handle a lot of G forces or, you know, impact, you know, that's why
so can a Seiko.
What?
So can a Grand Seiko. So can, Marine Master. Yeah. So,
right. But I mean, you paying $300,000
for?
Come on. Know, there's some technicality, like, you know, they have carbon, you know, casing and all that fun stuff. I'm not saying does it justify the price? Absolutely not. But
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's absurd. It's an interesting timepiece. I'm not like, totally against it.
I'll say this in take a real stab here and say something controversial. I feel like you can spend $1,000 and get a technically great watch. Like,
yes,
you don't need to spend more than $1,000 to get a watch that'll probably last you decades and is more or less indestructible. Like, I don't think, like, right, Sanj? Like, you don't need to.
Yeah, I would say like 2,000 tops. You can get some really good, some really good watches.
And Rolex, you're looking at $8,000 minimum. So like, we're not even talking Rolex. Like, we're talking like Tissot, we're talking Swatch Group, we're talking like Seiko. Like, you don't need to go that far out. No, really.
Like Hamilton is another one out there. And there are a lot of watch brands as you get into, let's say, the four-figure mark that you can really start to really research and kind of pick and choose which one you feel speaks to you the most.
I
meant to ask you, Tommy, a while ago about this brand of watch, and it's drawing up. I'm gonna describe it, and I'm just drawing a blank on the name. What's the one that the it's made in? I think their shtick is they're made in Detroit.
Oh,
Shinola.
Yeah. What's up with those?
Yeah, they're nice watches, but I mean, given that I live 30 minutes away from Detroit, I mean, they're nice watches, but do they justify the price that they charge for? I'm not so sure. I don't think so.
I mean, the real controversy with those guys is this was a couple years ago. The leather part of the watch, right, the straps and stuff, they are made in the USA. 100% true. God bless it. All right. God bless America.
Yep.
The actual watch itself is, I think from all indications, not actually made in the USA.
I think it's assembled
in the US, but not assembled
in the US. But like they were making a claim that was not 100% true.
That is where I think that people I fell into that, because it's like I think that that was the allure, that it was made in the US and, you know, patriotism, which you're and so forth. And then it's kind of like how I feel the same correlation, ironically, cars again. An American made car, now we're realizing, isn't necessarily American.
I mean, there's irony here, because like 100 years ago, about 100 years ago, like the US was actually a leader in watchmaking. Like, there were huge watch companies here. Hamilton, Elgin, huge brands.
Even, you know, Ball, like, back in the day, you know, when Ball. Railroads came into the big picture and were important for the economy. Ball was important for creating timepieces for the railroad engineers.
But like, all those guys folded, and like, you know, the Swiss really became the standard. In fact, Hamilton, which is an American storied brand, was acquired by Swatch Group. But, you know, now they're a Swiss brand, but they weren't always a Swiss brand. They were an American brand. So, you know, once upon a time, like, Swiss watches were considered cheap and kind of disposable. They were not considered, you know, the workhorse, you know, standard for quality that they are now today, right? So
things changed. They used to be a supplier to like other countries, essentially.
Right. It was like how kind of China, you know, in a way, is a supplier for a lot of other, you know, industries. Like, you know, it was the factory of the world. It wasn't itself considered, you know, something all that highly regarded. But, you know, obviously things changed over the last 100 years. But So that's the deal with Shinola. I don't know. We've never reviewed a Shinola on this podcast.
Oh, really?
No, never. No. We've gone 6 or 7 years, but I don't think we've ever done that. No.
Oh, well, that should be your next topic. Only because for someone who clearly doesn't know much about watches, that's a brand that I do know. So yeah, you guys should definitely get on that one.
Well, in that case, the day we review it, we got to have you back in, Patrice.
Oh, please. Yes. Only if you send me a sample beforehand.
Yeah, no, there's actually a store in Copley Plaza, store. Yeah, so I've walked in. I mean, they look attractive, you know, they're eye-catching, but yeah, I mean, meat and potatoes, you know, the actual substance of it, you know, I just can't get over a few things about them, but okay. Yeah, I never really had any interest, but yeah, you know.
So then, so we still have to, we can, I think the last two kind of tiers, engagement and marriage, will be easier, but so I'll at least the very, very end. But what do you guys think are timeless watches for guys?
Oof. Oh. Now, if you are into, if the gentleman is really into watches or knows a decent amount, doesn't have to be like reading articles like Tommy and I every day or anything like that. But, you know, there's nothing wrong. You know, we talk about this brand a lot and it's a love-hate relationship. But Rolex is a timeless watch. The Datejust is a timeless watch.
It's a very simple, kind of dressy watch. But, you know, Tony Soprano wears a version of it. It's like a very famous watch that, like, it'll never go out of fashion.
What's that? You said a Rolex, but it's like what category?
Datejust, yeah.
And what's, like, the price point on that?
Oof. It can vary depending on the materials. Like, so it comes in many flavors and different sizes and all that fun stuff. So, like, you can get a stainless steel Datejust, which is probably the cheaper iteration, or you can get, like, you know, an 18 karat white gold Datejust, which is a lot more money. So it depends on what you're looking for, you know, because some of these watches, like, you know, like, grand. Yeah, they may start at 5 to 6 grand and they can be, you know, 20 grand.
Okay, but the 5 or 6 grand, now we're talking maybe about, like, now that could be, like, potentially if you're engaged to someone or a wedding gift, or like if you're married to someone, one of those type
gifts. I would say that would be a fantastic wedding or a marriage gift.
Yeah, and this is a new trend. I mean, someone I spoke to told me that in exchange for the ring, the wife got the groom a watch, a really expensive watch. Which was interesting, but
I think we should delete that because I don't think anyone should be doing that.
It's only fair, Patrice. Come on.
You're right. If I want a quality, it's gonna be through and through. So maybe that could be like a wedding day gift, not like an engagement gift.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's new to me. This was not a thing that I was aware of, but. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, usually these timeless watches are usually tied to an event that happened where a watch was worn. So for example, Tommy has the Omega Speedmaster Professional. It's also called the Moon Watch because it was the watch NASA that was flight qualified by NASA that Omega supplied to the astronauts that landed on the moon. So that is one of the other timeless watches, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what they're into. Like, I don't know, like, you know, I'm kind of into space and flying and stuff like that. So, like, that's the kind of watches I'm kind of into. But, like, you know, someone could be really into, I don't know, yachting. You know, there's like a whole slew of yachting watches that you can really get into.
Dive watches is probably, the biggest, arguably the biggest kind of style.
A dive watch is like a dive bar?
No, like literally scuba diving. No.
Ah, so it's not a lower tier watch. It's a type of watch that you wear for scuba diving.
Right. Yeah. It gained a lot of popularity in the 60s, late 50s and 60s.
The Rolex Submariner is a good example. Like, yeah, Rolex made the quintessential dive watch. Like, that's what James Bond used to wear. Like, you know, like that used to be the standard. And dive watches are really popular because, like, dive watches are built to take a beating because they have to be under pressure and underwater. So, like, they tend to be over-engineered. So, like, people tend to buy a dive watch because, you know, it's a good standard watch. It tells you the time and, like, you can beat the crap out of it. So, you know, that tends to be a popular kind of subgenre. But it really, kind of depends on the person. You know, there's no way to say. It kind of depends. What does timeless mean to you is really what it means. But if I was to say, what's a watch that doesn't age poorly, like you could buy it today and like 30 years, people would still want it. I would say Datejust. Can't go wrong, you know?
Yeah, I personally don't like the Datejust. It's just my own personal aesthetic.
Is that right, Sage?
I'm not a big fan. I like the Oyster Perpetual, which is without that fluted bezel. I was never a fan.
Interesting. Okay. I like the Datejust. I'm a Datejust guy. But,
you know, most people zig. I just zag.
he does weird stuff. I wouldn't listen to him, all right? Yeah.
What do you think about, if for a gift, engraving nice watches? Because I always thought engraving is nice, but now that I'm talking to you guys, like, do you want to engrave watches?
If it's a very sentimental timepiece, like, say, a marriage watch or something like that, absolutely, get it engraved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't depreciate the. I mean, maybe it does in some ways financially, maybe, but that's not something though. You still, if you want to get it engraved for sentimental value, the price of the watch shouldn't deter you from doing that.
Yeah,
it's yours. It's for yours to keep forever.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm sure it impacts price, but if you're selling, but you know, that's a different story. Yeah.
So, okay, timeless watches, we went over engraving, we're good there. And then what do you think what would you say currently right now is a trendy watch?
Trendy watch for men?
Yes.
Okay. Tough to tell.
I didn't think that was going to be a stumper. I was not trying to stump the chump here.
Some of the trends that occurred like in social media are like kind of the watches Tommy and I can despise. Like, so we talked about Swatch, how it's, you know, they make it, first they're a company that makes watches, but they're also a parent company to many of the other watch brands, including Omega and the higher, more expensive exclusive watches. But like Swatch has been kind of doing this thing where they like collaborate with some of the with a couple of their brands to release a watch that's made affordable to the masses. Mm. So there's a both a positive and a negative aspect. The positive thing is it introduces the people who buy this product into the world of watch collecting and what watches is all about. But the negative thing is these watches are not not good.
Tell us how you really feel, Tommy.
I mean, for example, you know, Omega, right? Sanj mentioned the moon watch, right? So like Omega, obviously the Speedmaster went to the moon, very famous watch, probably the second most famous watch in the world. Mm-hmm. These guys took that watch and made a plastic version of that watch with a cheap movement. And they've been selling that. Now, anyone else would say that's garbage, right? But like, it's the company that owns the brand, so they can get away with it. But you know, is that really a good thing? I don't know. But like, it's all over Instagram. Everyone's posting it. Everyone's excited. There are people literally down the block outside waiting in the rain to get one.
Yeah, like it was a total sales success. But I mean, does it like interfere with the spirit of the original? Does like watch?
Yeah,
it's open to interpretation.
It gives me a little heebie-jeebie action, you know. Not.
I mean, I was not too,
I wasn't too against it because, like, frankly, watches are too expensive for regular people to get into and young people to get into. So, like, I do think it's helpful to get people into the hobby and like kind of get it. But it's also like if you make it too cheap and playful, then you lose a little bit of that mystique, you know. And like,
yeah, the moon swatch, I was not as like, you know, I thought it was to be honest, a bit of a neat idea of what the way they pulled it off. It was what Swatch did with Blanca. So Blanca is another watch brand under Swatch itself. They were known for making the first, the first true dive watch. And then Swatch did a collab with these guys. And the watch they came out with is like, it's poorly made. It's like, you know, it's not going to last.
Yeah, so, you know, what's popular, it's not really for us.
Got it. Not the right pod for this. You know, you were thinking when you were saying how getting young people into it and so forth, this is kind of maybe the watch for that. It just reminded me of something a little topical about the, I don't want to say controversy, but discussions about Taylor Swift being on these, you know, obviously watching the Super or watching the football games with Travis and so forth, and how, you know, people are saying, oh, sick of seeing Taylor, but then you have another group of people saying, yeah. Well, not only do they love, but they're saying like, hey, like, you know, you have dads who maybe have daughters who are, you know, tweens, is that the word, saying like, oh, it's like the first time I've been able to watch football with my daughter. So it does maybe serve its purpose from bringing it back to watches for Taylor, what it's
Taylor can
to.
Do no wrong. We're Swifties here. So,
okay. we so I'm neutral.
Yeah.
There's a place for it. You know, I'm not against it if it helps people get in. But you know what, Patrice, we've talked about other people a lot. We haven't talked about you.
Okay.
What are you into watch-wise? What would you consider for a watch? Or is this not a thing that you would even think about?
I would consider I had no idea on the different price ranges. If someone got me my Movado was a gift. So that was, I thought, just like incredible. And we were in such a, bring it back to the phases. We were officially BFGF at that time. So he got me a Movado during that.
Nice.
I would say, without knowing anything about watches, if someone got me a Rolex, I would be like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. So, but I don't know any middle ground for female stuff. So is there any stuff that's a middle ground for females? We're talking exclusive boyfriend, girlfriend stuff.
So I would just say, you know, I think the Oyster Perpetual is great because men and women can wear it. It comes in different sizes and there's a lot of different colors. So like you can really go kind of wild shopping there, you know? So I think if, for example, you're in this sales contest and they tell you that you won and they ask you what you want, I would look into the Rolex Oyster Perpetual or the Datejust and see if you like a color. Like there's like a coral blue. There's like a sange. What are the other colors? Like there's like a orange.
It depends on when green. It was released. Like Rolex. Like, yeah, they make great watches. They're, you know, jewelry timepieces, like one can say. But they're also one of the best marketing brands in the world. Like, not just watches, brands. So, like, they have a way of creating demand. And they have a way of controlling and you know, keeping that demand every year. It's insane. So, like, what Tommy talked about, like, say, these, you know, the orange, the yellow, some of these colorways might go away the following year because Rolex thinks it's, you know what, let's keep it exclusive. You know, they have no reason other than to just, you know.
It's like a sneaker drop almost, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Googling it as you were saying, just so I can get a picture. Yeah, these are lovely. These Oyster Perpetuals.
Yeah, the Datejust is my favorite of the brand. But like, yeah, you can get them in sizes that are like more appropriate for women. Different colors. So like that's I know a couple women who are like in finance who I've noticed, you know, there's been a couple of them who have been rocking Datejust or Oyster Perpetual. So like,
oh yeah, I'm looking at the date. Yeah, these are sharp.
Yeah, they're really cool. And Omega has that I think the Aquaterra line, Sanj. They have like a
female. Yeah, the Aquaterra is a nice Seamaster Aquaterra. That's a good line of watches for sure.
Yeah, I think Nicole Kidman is the Aquaterra spokesperson. But that's their answer to the Rolex Datejust.
I went to a movie recently. And what did I see? I saw ISS, if anyone has seen that movie. But it got me thinking about Nicole Kidman because she's also the spokesperson, I feel, for AMC movie theaters.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she does the whole intro before the movie starts. But anyhow, sorry, go ahead.
No, okay. I learned something new today.
She is associated with Omega, so
She was wearing it during the maybe why I wanted to do the pod. She subliminally was talking about, you know, wearing Omega.
Yeah, but I think other than that, you know, for brands, you know, I really like Oris. I got my wife an Oris sometime back, and she loves it. She wears it. That's her day to day. That's another Swiss brand. Kind of middle of the line, but they make really, really good watches. They're independent. ORIS, they make a great, you know, great lineup. And I also got my wife a Tudor. So, you know, that's.
Do you think that your wife would have known, was it Oris you said?
Yeah, she's heard of Oris through me, but she knows Tudor. And I got her Tudor for our anniversary. So that was basically our 10 year gift for her. So
okay, so she
he's put up with me for a long time.
So she gets a watch out of it. So she knew, so she was aware of what the tutor was before you.
I think so. I mean, Tudor is basically Rolex's sub-brand, so like they're related somewhat. It's more affordable.
And
like,
I'd be curious, because I think she's probably one of the few females I know that has a watch as such. I'd be curious, and it's anecdotally speaking, if people have commented on it. Like, if other females have been like, oh, hey, nice watch.
It's no one gets tasteful. That brand. It's hidden under the cuff. No one knows anything. But yeah, you have to ask her next time you talk to her.
I will.
But those are other brands that you can kind of get into. There's a lot of focus on women because, you know, to be honest, women are making, in many cases, a lot more money than men are. So, you know, we got to sell watches. We got to move merchandise, baby. So, you know, women are now part of the market.
Sanj, have you gotten your wife a watch? And if so, what kind?
She is not into watches or jewelry whatsoever. She would know what a Rolex or a Seiko is. I think she knew that even before knowing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no issue getting her a watch or of that matter. But I know for a fact she would say, don't waste your time or money getting a watch for me. I'm never going to wear it.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I think a lot of females might feel that way if they didn't have someone talking to them. And even she does have someone talking to her about it, and she's still like, this is not my jam.
Yeah. If you know, you know, I guess, you know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of, you know, females out there that are definitely into watches. You know,
it's a
from
thing.
A celebrity point of view, Ellen DeGeneres is a huge collector.
Oh.
Yeah, she is. She's got a pretty deep collection. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Impressive.
Wonder like how many very swatches.
Impressive collection. Yeah.
She's got at least a very nice Rolex Daytona, right, Sanj? I remember
she's got a few Rolex Daytona. I think she's a real Rolex Daytona aficionado.
Jeez. Yeah. So yeah, she's impressive. So I think your homework, Patrice, before next February, next in time for Valentine's Day, is to get into watches so that we could talk about women's watches with you. All right. And you're going to tell us what we should be buying for our significant others and what we should be buying for women. Okay. You're the female correspondent for the Land Gem podcast.
Love it. I am adding some watches to my Amazon cart as we speak. So that's what you get a Rolex, right? It says here, it says Rolex $100 Amazon. Is that what it is, right? It can't be a knockoff. A Folex? Wait, that's an F. Folex. Okay.
You know what Tommy's trying to say is that go and get a couple of credit cards out there, max it out within a year, and get some watches. Done. Don't worry about a credit score.
But it'll be good. It'd be really good if you came back and we picked this up and, you know, maybe you had something to share with us, you know. So I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'll be there along the way to guide you along, Patrice.
Thank you. This has been so much fun. I appreciate you guys answering these questions. I truly learned. I had no idea coming into this if I was gonna learn anything. I learned a ton.
To be honest, you also brought in a different perspective of, like, you know, and you posed some really good questions, like, you know, getting watches as a gift for a gentleman, you know, from a woman's perspective. So,
yeah, because we're just usually going to Nordstrom, picking out something that looks nice and saying like it. So it's good to have this backstory.
That counts. Yeah, it's a thought that counts. But it's great. Yeah, no. So yeah, no, again, once again, thanks again for jumping on, Patrice. This was great. This was a lot of fun. And yeah, we will get an update from you. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And if you ever want me back, even before next year, you know where to find me.
We want you back already. We don't want you to leave. Right?
Well, thank you so much, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
Welcome to the Land Jam Podcast, a semi-friendly discussion between two blokes on watches, cars, and everything in between. Now, here are your hosts, Tommy, and Sanjeev.